It's time for you to be a part of the show. Email or call with questions for Dr. Mike now. Email askdrmikesmith@radiomd.com or call 877-711-5211. What are you waiting for? The doctor is in.
So this question just came in on email, and you can send me your questions right now, and I'll read it on air. And here's one right here that's askdrmikesmith@radiomd.com. And this is a reference to the five natural workout supplement segment that I did. And so the question is, isn't there a protein to carb ratio that's good for sore muscles? And that's a great question, because I just learned this myself from a good friend of mine, Dr. Holly Lucille, who was on my show talking about delayed onset muscle soreness. More and more people are getting out there working out, which is great, but that causes some sore muscles, which is not necessarily a bad thing, by the way. Sore muscles is actually could be, according to Dr. Lucille, a good thing. You break down the muscle fiber a little bit, you cause these little micro tears, and then the muscle rebuilds itself, and it can rebuild stronger and at an increased amount. So it actually could be a good thing. And she talked about a protein. Oh, I better get this right. Protein to carb ratio of 1:2, 30 minutes after you work out. So one serving of protein to two servings of a complex carb. Now, not sugar. She made that clear. Not sugar. So a serving of protein to two servings of complex carbs 30 minutes after you work out, that can help to control muscle soreness. For additional help, she mentioned curcumin and ginger. And I would throw in there, as a matter of fact, this was one of the workout supplements I mentioned, and that's glutamine. Glutamine can be very helpful for muscle soreness. So there you go. Yeah, it's a 1:2 protein to carb complex carb ratio. Okay, going on. Next question. Should I be concerned about my sodium and sugar intake? Well, you know, I think I don't know you personally, but I'm going to make two assumptions. Number one, if you're an average American, you're eating the standard American diet, which is SAD, sad. It is. It's a very sad diet that the average American eats. So I have to make an assumption that you're eating too much salt and sugar. Yeah. And then, of course, you're asking me this question, right? I mean, most people who feel like they got it under control don't ask that question. So the fact that you're asking probably tells me you do have an issue with salt and sugar. Okay, let's talk about salt first, because there's a couple myths about salt. First is about blood pressure. The most common reason doctors say limit your salt is because it could increase blood pressure. You know, that's not really true. Did you know that? If you have bad kidneys, or you already have blood pressure issues and you do too much salt, then it can be a problem. But if your blood pressure's fine and you got healthy kidneys, you can do a lot of salt and your body handles it. Your kidneys metabolize and get rid of it. But it's still probably a good idea to manage salt a little bit better, especially with all the alternatives, salt alternatives. I mean, Mrs. Dash, you got just good, good fresh herbs, spices. There's so much out there. And, you know, 20 years ago at one of, you know, your local grocery store, there was hardly any choice. I mean, yeah, it was salt and pepper. That was it. I mean, the spice aisle, the salsa aisle, I mean, that was like the exotic place to go. Only weird people went down those aisles. But now, I mean, they're all over the place. So, I think it's important because I just believe in balance. I believe in moderation of anything, you know. And listen, I come from a family, we used a lot of salt. My dad would salt a salt stick. I mean, it would cause fights, especially when my Greek grandmother was cooking food for him. And he would salt her food before even tasting it. And, oh, she just would, and she was a tough woman. So I think it is important to be, you know, careful with salt intake. I just wanted you to know that there are some myths about it. I mean, if you do have healthy kidneys and your blood pressure is normal. It's not really about that. It's just we have to do things in moderation, especially with so many of the great spices and stuff out there. So try to use some of that stuff more and less of the direct salt. Now, as far as the sugar, yeah, I mean, this is the big one, right? I mean, I've talked about sugar so much, and I will continue to talk about sugar because it's killing us. My gosh, I mean, you know, sugar is related to abnormal lipid profiles, metabolic syndrome, cardiovascular disease, obviously diabetes, nerve problems, brain problems. We're now even calling Alzheimer's maybe diabetes in the brain because there's some insulin and weird sugar stuff going on there. So, yeah, we have to watch sugar. Sometimes when I'm doing some lectures, I like to ask people, what are the two diseases that were almost unheard of before we brought in processed sugars? Does any of my listeners know? What were the two diseases that were almost unheard of before we brought in processed sugars? Anybody? Number one, yeah, diabetes. It was there, but it wasn't that. It was pretty uncommon. And number two, acne. Yeah, acne. So, yeah, I mean, we have to watch the processed sugars. And especially just like with the salt and all the alternative salts out there and the spices and so on, there's better sugars. There's less processed sugars. There's turbinado. There's molasses. There's different ways to get sugar. We just have to limit the amount. And what's really hard today is there's so much added sugar to things, too. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be doing a segment coming up on the effects of added sugar. And how that actually was shown recently to increase all-cause mortality. So that's coming up on a future segment. So yeah, you need to watch your sugar. If you really have because you're asking me the question, right? So if you really have a big sugar craving, you know, try something like saffron extract. If you're a sugar craver in the afternoon because of work stress, kid stress, life stress, and you know your sugar is your comfort, and there's a reason for that. Cortisol is a sugar mobilizer that then releases insulin. It drives the sugar out of your bloodstream, and you start craving the sugar. Plus, you know, when you're stressed, you got to feed the stress. You got to feed your muscles, your brain, because you're stressed out, so you need more sugar, so you crave it. And so what we have found is saffron is able to cut sugar cravings really well because it has an influence on serotonin, which is the feel-good neurotransmitter, and so that can be helpful. So watch your salt. Try some of the spices and some of the, you know, is it Mr. Dash or Mrs. Dash? I can't remember, but I don't really use that. I just use a lot of spices and hot sauces and stuff like that. So watch that salt. And then the real issue is the sugar. And one great way to control sugar cravings is with things that boost serotonin. So tryptophan, saffron extract, 5-HTP is another one there. So, yes, please watch sodium and sugar intake. All right, next question. Are frozen foods healthier than canned foods? Yes. That was pretty easy. Frozen foods have been shown to preserve nutrients better. You don't have a lot of the salt preservatives and the nitrates that you find in canned foods. So fresh is always best, right? So we want to be shopping. You know, if you go into your grocery store, all of the fresh food is on the outside with the refrigeration. That's where we need to be shopping. We need to be filling up our shopping carts with about 80% of the stuff on the outside aisles, not the inside aisles. That's where you get the prepackaged stuff and the canned foods and the salts and the preservatives and the sugars and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, let's you know, and we can't always eat fresh. I get that. So when you can't, stick to the frozen. It is better. More nutrients, less preservatives. Yes, I like frozen food better than canned. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.